God never intended you to live on limited energy. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains how your life can be radically changed through the power of God.
Nearly every man in this room probably has had a wrong thought, a wrong feeling, a wrong word, or a wrong action since we met here last Sunday. But certainly our goal should be that we would live every moment of our lives surrendered to and submitted to the Holy One who lives within us. Oh, listen, friend, what a great goal.
Life can sometimes be overwhelming, and balancing all the competing demands we face can be a challenge. But God desires to give you a supernatural strength that only He can give. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Power of God, Pastor Chappell offers biblical insight and simple steps that can take you from where you are to where you want to be. As you apply the truth of God's Word, your life will change in ways you never thought possible. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Power to Fill.
Well, none of us in this room this morning like to be out of control of our everyday circumstances. And to some extent, all of us are control freaks when you consider that we like to know what's going on with our finances. We like to know what's going on with our families. We try to stay in keeping things in order. We like things to run well. We don't like insecurities. We like the security of knowing what's going on. But it seems like about the time we get something in control in our lives, there's the concern that maybe it won't stay that way for a long period of time. And so our human nature is to try to hold things close to the vest, keep things running the way we want them to run. Don't let anybody get too close. Don't let anybody mess around with our stuff because we like things relatively in control. Well, this morning, what I'm going to talk to you about is so against our human nature. It is so unlike us to do what I'm going to talk to you about that if you don't come into this saying, Lord, I want to know your will today, you could miss by way of your nature one of the greatest truths that we really need to understand in the Christian life. Because what I'm going to speak to you about this morning is the fact that there is one, and he is one person of the Godhead, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God. And he wants to have control of our lives. He wants to so fill us with himself that he would literally direct the pathway of our life and the way that we live each and every day. Now, again, we don't like to be out of control, but I promise you that if you'll listen to the message today, you would be so much happier with the result of having God in control of your life as opposed to you yourself micromanaging every single aspect of your life. And so let's dig into the scriptures today and let's find out what power for living is really all about. What is it really like to be controlled by God in our everyday lives? How would it affect your family? How would it affect you at work even tomorrow? And so let's learn about it today. And I want you husbands and wives especially to listen up. Don't elbow each other, but just let the Lord speak to you. And how many of you are willing to let the Lord elbow you a little bit if you need it this morning? All right, let's get started. Notice, if you would, this morning, the walk of a Spirit-filled man. God has power to fill you, and when he does, there's going to be a difference in the way you walk and live each and every day. Now, notice this as we begin in verse 15 of our text. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Many times, the Bible describes the Christian life as a walk or as a journey. For example, in Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And so God speaks about the Christian life as a walk or as a journey. And God's desire is that each and every one of us would have a walk that is reflective of his presence within us, that is showing forth the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when God is working in your life and filling you, there will be a different kind of walk that is evidenced. You'll be able to notice. And I'm not talking about whether you swagger or limp or walk fast or slow. We're talking about the way that we live, all right? And so what would be the characteristics of this walk of a spiritual man? Notice three thoughts. First, it will be a balanced walk. It will be a balanced walk. Now, it doesn't matter how you walk, fast or slow. If you do not keep your balance, you're going to fall. And God speaks to us about having a balanced walk. Again, in verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. If you're taking notes this morning, the word circumspectly simply means not giving occasion to stumbling. Let's say that together. Not giving occasion. I don't know about you. I don't like to stumble. I don't like to fall. I try to keep my balance as best I can. And God says spiritually, we're to walk circumspectly. Don't give occasion to stumbling. That means, for example, if you've had a challenge in your past with alcohol or drugs, you do not want to get around an environment. You don't want to go with your old pals when they invite you to the party or over to the watering hole that has more emphasis on martinis than hamburgers. You don't want to get anywhere that could pull you back into that old lifestyle that hurt your life and perhaps your children. You don't want to put yourself into the position of stumbling. You want to walk with circumspectness in mind. You determine that in your life, God has a direction for your life that is pleasing to Him, and you're going to do all that you can to keep that course. Now, I know some people that are like a preacher friend of mine, and some time ago he said, I'm going to go on a diet, and I'm going to lose a lot of weight. And so on his way to the office one day, he began to pray. Now, Lord, if you don't want me to go to the donut shop this morning, then I'm going to pray that there would be no parking spots out in front of the donut shop. Well, a little later on that day, some of his friends saw him with some donuts, eating some donuts and so forth. And they asked him about it. He said, well, I ate the donuts because there were two open parking spots in front of the donut shop after I passed by the eighth time. Now, I've tried to counsel some dear Christian friends about strongholds in their life, and boy, they're praying that it won't happen while they're driving around the eighth time. And there comes a place when we have to walk circumspectly. We have to avoid those places that are going to cause us to stumble, those relationships that are going to cause us to stumble. And so the balanced walk speaks about avoiding those pitfalls. It also says in verse number 15, not as fools, but as wise. And then it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Balancing your walk is not only staying away from something that could trip you up, but it also is a matter of redeeming your time. If you're taking notes this morning, the word redeeming can mean to liberate or to free up. God says if you're going to be a spiritual man, you're going to have to liberate some time for Him and for what is best. You know, sometimes we can get into habits and activities that are somewhat time-wasting. Like the fisherman who goes out to fish. I'm not saying fishing is time-wasting, but like the fisherman who throws his line out and all of a sudden there's a ball of line there, and boy, it just takes so long to get that unraveled. Some people wind up spending all their time unraveling line when maybe they'd be better just to cut it off and start again. Sometimes people can get so involved in time wasting and they need to liberate themselves from that, redeeming the time because the days are evil. For example, if you're a father and you're spending 10 or 12 hours a week watching television and 5 to 10 hours a week reading the, or 5 to 10 minutes a week reading the Bible to your children, you need to liberate some of that TV time and spend it on your family. If you have a child, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, and you're spending hours and hours on the internet, Googling this and that, surfing this and that, watching this, oh, did you know, hey, look at this on Facebook, look at this, I talked to a friend that I didn't even know since I was like in the 7th grade, how cool is that? Not very cool if you haven't talked to your children. You need to liberate some computer time because the days are evil and your family needs you. You need to spend some time maybe witnessing for Jesus. You see, the spiritual man is balanced in his time. He is balanced in his walk. And this is something the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us wisdom. With a still small voice, he says, you need to take your wife and spend some time with her and tell her you love her. You need to tell your son what a blessing he is, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so the spiritual man has a balanced walk. Notice, secondly, the spiritual man has a believing walk. This is a man who believes his life has a specific purpose. Notice, if you would, in verse 17, it says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It seems like sometimes pastors spend the majority of their time with unwise Christians. Christians who've made unwise decisions. Christians who have not lived according to the Spirit. They have lived according to the flesh. Now they're in a mess. What do I do? Well, how many of you like preventive medicine? Amen? God says don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we have hundreds of young people on this campus every day. We have high school young people, college young people, and if they're wise, and many of them are, they seek counsel about the Lord's will for their life. They'll talk to their parents, they'll talk to teachers, and they'll sometimes write me a note or an email, Pastor, we're thinking about this or that. And you know, the truth is, we cannot tell every individual specifically every answer. For example, I can't say, it is God's will for you to be a nuclear engineer, it is God's will for you to be a preacher. I cannot say that, but there are some things that I can with confidence tell them, this is the will of God for your life. For example, I believe it's God's will that everybody gets saved. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But let me tell you about the belief of a Christian concerning God's will for his life. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in your notes, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, I'm going to tell you God's will for your life, friend, if you're a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, is that you would believe his will is that you would be sanctified or set apart in the way you live your life. It is God's will, and we must believe his will, that we would live sanctified lives, different, separate lives in this world in which we live. And so a spiritual man has a balanced walk. He's not falling over. Spiritual man has a believing walk. My life has a purpose, and the purpose of my life is to live for Jesus Christ, a set apart life. Then notice thirdly, this man in his spiritual walk has a behaving walk. His behavior is honoring to the Lord. Now let's pick this up in verse 18, if you would please. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we're going to see here that the spiritual man has not only a balanced walk, not only believing that he is to live a sanctified life, but he is a behaving Christian with a behavior that is very distinct. And we see that in the words here, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This man's life is characterized by a walk of integrity. It is characterized in this verse by the absence of alcoholism, the absence of drunkenness. Be not drunk, obviously meaning here to become intoxicated. The verb is in the present tense, and this is what it means. It is God's will for us to live in a continual state of soberness. Be not drunk with wine. Now, may I suggest to you this morning, the best way to live in sobriety is to never take the first drink. And may we come to an understanding that, listen carefully now, you cannot be filled or controlled by God if you are being controlled by something else or someone else. It may be anger in some cases. I have talked to many police officers in our church who have said to me, Pastor, the man was so angry when he hit his wife. The man was so angry when he got into the fight that he was under the control of that anger. I have talked to many police officers who've said he was under the control of PCP or some other narcotic, and he just didn't even really know what he was doing. He was under the influence of something else. Well, God says, don't be under the negative influence of alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I agree with Vance Havner, the evangelist of yesteryear, who said concerning alcohol, I'm tired of hearing sin called sickness and alcoholism a disease. It's the only disease I know of that we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to spread. You know, no one says, here, have a bottle of my disease. Want some more disease? Have some more disease. It is not a disease, it is a choice. And all of us have the power of choice. But there are certain choices when we make them that have power over us. And what this boils down to this morning is, what will I allow to control me? Will I allow substance? Will I allow anger? Or will I allow God to have control of my life? Proverbs speaks of this matter of alcohol. Proverbs 23:29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? You could put in modern vernacular, who has the police at their house every Friday night? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry along at the wine, they that go down to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, and when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. So many men that we've had to counsel and help and get out of jail, who think they're so funny when they're drinking, who think they're just, you know, every woman's dream when they're drinking. You know what you are? You're everyone's nightmare when you're drinking. And the fact of the matter is this morning that God says that a spiritual man is going to have a balanced walk. He's going to have a believing walk, that his life's supposed to be different, and a behaving walk. He's not going to be under the influences of this world's concoctions. That's not his desire. His behavior is going to be different. And I'm speaking to some men this morning. You say, well, Pastor Chapel, don't you know it's 2010? Don't you know this is the Word of God? It's not bound by time or ages. I want you to understand, some of you men this morning, you have a dear wife that brought you to the house of God, perhaps, a friend that invited you to the house of God. I'm just simply saying to you this morning, on the authority of Scripture, God wants your life to be different. This isn't 45 minutes in church and 7 days a week living like a hellion. God says if you want to be a spiritual Christian, it's not just a Sunday morning thing, but it's a life that He wants to change, you see. It's a whole different walk. It's a way to live differently. Now let's notice, secondly, not only the walk of this spiritual man, but notice, secondly, the will of a spirit-filled man. You say, well, sometimes my life isn't that different from my unsaved friends, all right? What's the problem here? Well, let's go back to Ephesians 5:18, and let's see the design of the Christian life. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right? Let's say that phrase together. Ready to begin. But be filled with the Spirit. All right? Now, all of us who are saved have received the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. All of us who are saved, watch this, husbands, possess the Holy Spirit. The question is, does He possess all of you? It's one thing to possess the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to be possessed of the Holy Spirit. And so we see this morning that God is speaking to us concerning the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And like alcohol controls the drunk, in a positive way, God's Spirit wants to control us in the way that we live. And so our will must, first of all, be a surrendered will. We must surrender our will to Him. It says in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. The word but is a contrasting conjunction which speaks to the matter of choice. And it tells us that we must choose to make this filling possible. We, by having anger and sin in our life, can repel the Holy Spirit. Or by confessing and forsaking sin, we can invite the Holy Spirit. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 6 and verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That means every day, men and women, we can get up in the morning and we can say, Lord, I yield myself to You. I surrender myself to You. I want these hands to do what You want these hands to do today. I want these feet to go where You want these feet to go today. I want this mouth to say what You want this mouth to say. Lord, I surrender myself to You to be the husband today that I'm supposed to be, to be the father today that I'm supposed to be, to be the soul winner today that I'm supposed to be. I will not yield my members to sin, unrighteousness, fornication, and wickedness, but I yield myself to You. And by the way, that is a very reasonable request when you consider that Jesus died for your sin. So we are commanded to be filled. And we are commanded to be continually filled by the Spirit of God. And when we are filled, we are blessed by the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, I don't want to give the steering wheel of my life to the Holy Spirit. That doesn't sound like fun. I want to keep some control and pull over here and there when I want to. I'm a commuter. I want to have the right to pull over and relax when I want to. Listen, friend, we're talking about letting God have that steering wheel today. We're talking about letting God control our lives. And when you do, He will not put you in bondage. He will give you liberty and joy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's say that together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Listen to me. You can follow your flesh, but there's no liberty in a hangover. There's no liberty when your wife finds out you're cheating. There is no liberty in a financial bondage. There is no liberty when you have lived a life of sin. Listen, the sin and flesh is what brings bondage. Obeying the Holy Spirit is what brings real freedom, you see. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He brings liberty. And by the way, He brings leadership into our lives. He will tell us the way to live. Romans 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I spent some time last summer, I spent the better part of a day visiting in an AIDS hospital. And as I was there with another pastor, going from place to place and bed to bed and praying with people, many of whom were innocent, but parties in the process, children born and so forth, but many who had made their choice. And because of a choice and because of a lifestyle of the flesh, they were facing a consequence. Well, I say to you this morning that when we choose to live in the flesh, there are varying levels of consequences. But when we choose to live in the Spirit, there is a blessing that comes from God Almighty. D.L. Moody spoke of it this way. I firmly believe that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. Hence, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. One man's problem may be wine. One man's problem may be pride. One man's may be covetousness. There are some young women here today who may have problems that young men do not have. Some women may have the problem of jealousy. They may have the problem of covetousness, but whatever is composing this overwhelming sense of control in your life today is hindering God's ability to lead and direct you. And so the spiritual man has a surrendered will. He says, Lord, I surrender my will, my desires to have your presence, your filling in my life. Secondly, he has a spiritual will. He has a spiritual will. Not a selfish will, not a fleshly will. It says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Andrew Murray said, may not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, love, and joy of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill full of His Spirit and His love. Now listen right here. Very few of us live every moment completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329.
We hope today's message has encouraged you.
Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.